Welcome to Fire and Security Chat, brought to you by Corson Fire and Security, where we talk about the technology and equipment used to protect and secure life and property. I'm your host, Aaron Whitaker. Today I'm with Brick Keltner, Corporate Shop Trainer. On today's episode, I'll talk with Brick about hydro testing cylinders. But before we dive into that, Brick, I wanted to know a little bit about your background. How long have you been with Corson?
I started with Corson in November of 2000. I've been here a little over 18 years. I spent about 15 years as a shop technician or a road technician doing fire extinguishers on a route before I transferred over here to the training center about 3.5 years ago.
Okay. And what do you teach at the training center?
My main job is going to be the shop guys doing hydro testing. I also teach hazardous materials for fire extinguishers, clean agent systems, teach aerial lift, forklift training, confined space training, fall protection, lockout, tagout, slips, trips, and falls, ladder safety. And we're now kicking off a trailer training for all the guys that pull trailers.
Okay. And besides working here as a trainer for Corson Fire and Security, you have another full-time job, correct?
Yeah, I'm a full-time fireman, west side Indianapolis and Plainfield. I've been full-time for about 21 and a half years. So I've been here almost as long as I've been there. It kind of fills my extra time.
And you're not the, I've run into other people in this organization at Corson that are either, there's other volunteers, there's other full-time, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we've got, it's a tough business to do full as a full-time fireman. But a lot, we have quite a few volunteer firemen that are working for the company. And I mean, they take their time off work and that's what they do, where I do it full-time. And then I'm just here on my days off. They're volunteer firemen all the time.
And you're telling me earlier that there's three other guys that
There's three other full-time firemen that work here at Indianapolis. Yeah. Two of them down at Rolls-Royce, and then one of them is our fire extinguisher trainer that goes out and trains for the companies that we take care of their extinguishers.
Cool. All right, now let's dive into, you mentioned you did training hydro testing.
Yes.
What is a hydro test?
Hydro test is basically, it's a way of checking the integrity of a cylinder. We fill it up with water, and then we pump it up to designated pressure depending on the cylinder, depending if it's DOT or a non-DOT cylinder. Low pressure, it checks to make sure there's no leaks, no deformities in the cylinder. High pressure, we actually measure the amount of deformity and then how much it goes back to normal after we let the pressure off of it. And it's just a way of checking that it's going to withstand the pressure while it's hanging on the wall. Protecting a business.
So the high pressure that you actually says that they actually deform, and then
they all deform. Really? High pressure and low pressure will both deform a certain amount, but with low pressure, it's not a high enough pressure to where they need to know how much it deforms. But on the high pressure CO2 systems, mainly in SCBA and scuba bottles, the cylinder will expand. And I'm not sure you can even visibly see how much it expands, but you take that measurement, and then when you let the pressure off of it, it contracts back, and it very seldom ever goes back to where it was. So we take the reading of total expansion and the reading after the pressure's off of it, and we calculate that out to see what the percentage of expansion is to determine if it passes or not.
Okay, so if it's if it expands past a certain limit, thrown out?
Yeah, then it's condemned. And we have to throw it away. Most cylinders are 10% permanent expansion over the total. 10% of the total expansion in the permanent expansion, and then we have to condemn them.
Now, I've been over at the shop at Indy. And I know the low pressure, they put it in like a cage and hook it up to just a water hose.
They hook it up to a water hose. The water hose is fed through the gauge system. So then when they use a hand pump to pump the pressure up, they make sure the pressure stabilizes. The cage is there so they can visualize the cylinder. It's a proof pressure test. They have to be able to visualize the cylinder while it's under pressure and make sure there's no leaks and no deformities. Make sure there's not water squirting out of a hole or a crack. And the cage is actually there in case it does fail, that it's not going to send shrapnel and, and hurt somebody.
Okay. What is the pressure on the lower pressure with a hand pump? What's
anywhere from 200 PSI to about 600. There are some cylinders, some of the bigger wheel units, some of the kitchen system tanks that are 1,000 PSI.
Okay. And are these all fire extinguisher cylinders, or are there other?
No, they most of them considered fire extinguishers. Okay. Some of them are system tanks.
Okay.
They're not hand portable extinguishers. Mm-hmm. Like the wheel unit cylinders are still classified as a fire extinguisher, but they're really not hand portable. They're, you got to drag them on around on wheels.
Okay.
I mean, they weigh 300-400 pounds usually.
Oh, wow. The high pressure test, how is that done?
The high pressure test, usually we'll try and shoot the cylinders off the day before and fill them full of water. That way the water can acclimate to the area. Because the closer your cylinder temperature is to your water jacket temperature, the more accurate you're not going to have the water temperature fluctuation as it one warms up and the other one. So we'll shoot them off, fill them full of water the next morning. If we didn't log them the day before, we'll log them before we test them. Put the correct adapter in them to make sure for the cylinder to match up with the hydro test machine. Lower them into the water jacket. We fill the water jacket completely full of water. There's no air in it. Then we fill the cylinder, run water through the cylinder to flush any air out of the line or out of the adapters. And then we'll pump the cylinder up to whatever the designated pressure is. It's usually 5/3 of the service pressure. Sometimes it's 1.5, depending on the type of cylinder, the type of any specifications that DOT has. We'll take the reading when it's at pressure. We have to hold that for 30 to 60 seconds, depending on the cylinder and the type of special permit that it's on. We'll take that reading. We'll let it set for the designated time. We'll release the pressure. Once we release the pressure, we let it stabilize, because a lot of times it'll go down past and then come back up because it's releasing down real fast and it'll fluctuate a little bit. So we let it quit fluctuating. We'll take that reading, and then that's when we do our calculation of our permanent expansion. We can only be 10% of the total.
Okay.
If it's below that, it passes. Before and after the test, we do an internal and external visual inspection on it to make sure there's no noticeable deformities, no rust, cracks, pits. We've got guidelines that we have to follow for all different types of damages, whether it's a rust or on SCBA bottles, the fiber wrap has a certain allowable damage that can be done to it. Over that, it has to be either sent out for repair or condemned. And then once we get done doing the test, if it passes, we'll dump the water out of it, dry it to make sure there's no moisture left in it. We'll do another internal external visual to make sure nothing happened to it during hydro testing. We'll put the valves back in them, and then we'll mark them either with a stamp or a label to tell when they were hydro tested.
Okay. Now, the high pressure, what is the vat that they drop? What did you, is that called?
It's a water jacket.
Water jacket.
Yeah, and as the cylinder expands inside of the water jacket, it pushes the water that's in there out.
Okay.
And then it goes into a beaker on a scale, and that's how we can tell how much the cylinder expanded.
Okay.
And then it's a closed system, so then as the cylinder contracts back towards normal, it sucks the water that it pushed out back into the water jacket.
Okay.
And that's how we get our readings. We used to use barrette glass tubes, and it depended on how much it was going to expand, which tube. There's about 6 different size tubes, but the scale is so much easier and more accurate.
And I mean, looking at this thing, kind of just paint a picture, it looks very heavy industrial, thick walls. This huge top comes onto it and basically clamps down. Yeah. I mean,
yeah, the Indianapolis's system, it actually has 5 spuds. on the lid. The lid probably weighs about 100, 125 pounds. Yeah. We use an electric hoist to raise it up. Smaller bottles, 5 pound CO2s, we can do put five cylinders in at a time. Mm-hmm. CO2s, SCBAs, scuba bottles, we can put four in. We still have to test them each individually.
Okay.
We've got valves on the top of the lid that we open and close depending on which cylinder we want to test. But it saves time because the amount of time that it takes to take the cylinder out, set it down, put another cylinder on and put it back in, and then reset the system, then you do away with that extra time for the other three cylinders. So it actually speeds your process up through the day.
Okay. Now, the low pressure, you said it was 200 to 600?
Yeah, usually 200 to 600 are the handheld fire extinguisher pressures. But then some of the bigger systems for, like, kitchen systems, some of those are DOT 4B500s, and then we test those to 1,000 PSI.
Okay, and the high pressure, what's the...
The high pressure will go anywhere from usually 3,000 to 10. That's all the higher we can test is 10,000. There's only one bottle that goes that high. Most, like CO2 fire extinguishers are 3,000. A lot of the 4,500 PSI SCBA bottles, we test those at 7,500. And then you get like 2216s, the 2300s. It's just 5/3 of the, basically you take whatever the pressure is, divide it by three, multiply it times five, and that's the test pressure that we have to achieve.
Besides the fire extinguishers, what other cylinders? I know you said SCBA, yeah, which is scuba.
Yeah. Well, SCBA is self-contained breathing apparatus. Is okay. What they use the fire department.
Okay.
Scubas are self-contained underwater breathing apparatus. Okay. So that's the difference, that they throw the U in there. Most of the SCBAs that we do now are carbon fiber wrapped. Mm-hmm. They're a lot lighter. Used to, they were old steel cylinders that weighed a ton. Now they've gone to the carbon fiber. They're actually have gone up to 5,500 PSI cylinders now. So they can, on the backpack on a SCBA, they'll last you about 30 minutes is what they're supposed to. They've changed the regulations, so they've gone to bigger bottles with higher pressure so you can stay in the same amount of time. Mm-hmm. So we do CO2s on high pressure. We do SCBAs. We do scubas. We'll test paintball cylinders. We'll test oxygen cylinders. We don't get into acetylene, anything like that. It's a whole different process. Yeah. So it's those are the basics that we do most of the time.
And I noticed, is this CO2 the ones that are the soda machine, the
yeah.
big, tall
yeah, the,
cylinders?
The carbonics.
Okay.
Yeah, they're basically fall under the same parameters as a normal fire extinguisher CO2 is. They're usually 3AA or 3AL 1800, so we test those at 3,000.
Okay. Now, let's go back to the fire extinguishers, and we can kind of expand from that. How are the fire extinguishers, the hydro testing, how often do they need to...
That all depends on the type of cylinder it is. The CO2 cylinders are, most of those are 5 years. SCBAs are, the newer ones are 5 years. Some of the older ones, I think most of those have been phased out, used to be 3 years. They've done enough testing on them that they allow them to go to 5 years instead of three. There are some new ones coming out that are going to be 10 years on SCBAs. When scubas, most of those are 5 years.
Okay.
Then you get into the low pressures. Most of the low pressures are 12 years, depending on their size. If they're over a certain size, then you do your first test at 12 years, and then every subsequent test after that is every 7 years.
And the low pressure being, are they like the typical ABC?
Yeah, ABC, BC, Purple okay. K, yeah. Okay. Kitchen class extinguishers are all low pressure.
Okay. Now, I know, writing about this, that the fire extinguishers, it's in the NFPA guidelines mm-hmm. or code about how often they need to be tested. Where who determines the SCBA and the other? Is that still NFPA?
No, DOT actually designates the time frame on testing. They dictate how often they need to be tested. NFPA steps in, and they dictate a little bit of the six-year maintenance and the hydro testing to an extent. DOT, when you hydro test a cylinder and fill it up so it's ready to go into service, it doesn't have to be hydro tested again until it's empty.
Okay.
It doesn't fall into the 12, 5, 7, any of those increments. NFPA directs that. NFPA requires us to pull them out of businesses and do on the intervals. Okay. If per DOT, if you shoot one off and it's past the hydro date that it was due, then it has to be hydro tested again before it can be filled. Okay. But if it doesn't get shot off, you can leave it in service indefinitely.
Hmm. Okay. Didn't know that. What happens when a cylinder fails a hydro test?
Once a cylinder fails a hydro test, either it leaks or it above the permanent expansion allowed, or it could just be rusty, mm-hmm. nasty, have a big gouge or something in it. We actually fill out a form that tells the serial number of the cylinder, the manufacturer, all the information on it, what type of cylinder it is. We log it into our system just like we would have tested it if it fails during the test, it's already in the system. But if it fails visual, we log it into the system, and then we just put that it didn't pass. We'll take it, return it to the customer. The customer will actually sign the form that we filled out, and then we have to keep a copy of that form for 5 years. And if DOT comes in, they'll ask for our condemned paperwork, and then they'll want to look in our records to make sure we did log it. The customer can either have us destroy the cylinder, or they can keep it. We'll X out the DOT numbers, so nobody else can't take it to another company. Yeah. Hey, it failed down here. Can you test it for us? And we get them in quite often that they're X'd out, and it's like, where'd you take this before? And they're like, oh, I haven't taken it anywhere. Yeah. I said, somebody condemned this cylinder. Yeah. And by law, we're not allowed to uncondemn a cylinder. So once it's condemned by anybody, it's done, and we can't do anything with it.
So they couldn't take it to somewhere and get it refilled?
No. Not if they're paying attention to the cylinders, because we'll actually stamp out the DOT number on the cylinders and with a X stamp and just make it to where they can't get the numbers off of it.
Okay. What is the common reason a cylinder fails?
Most of the time, the cylinders are going to fail visual inspection. They're either going to fail due to a big dent in them, excessive rust. We've had them come in that forklifts have run over them. And I mean, they're flat on both sides and they're like, can you test this? It's like, no, we cannot. They can't have any dents, gouges. There's allowable amounts of scratches that are allowed. Pretty much if it gets down into the metal, it's gonna fail visual if you get your gauges out. And we've got gauges that we set on the side, and we can see how deep the gouges and the rust pits are. But the majority of the time, it's just going to be excessive rust. We don't fail a lot of CO2s by hydro testing. Mm-hmm. If they're going to fail, the majority of them fail for visual, for the rust. Low pressure, they're probably more failing because of dents and gouges than they are the actual not holding the pressure, leaking through the sidewalls. SCBAs, as they get older, they'll start failing due to excessive expansion.
Okay.
Because they have such tight tolerances and such long hold times that a lot of those will fail. But the new ones, we don't fail a lot of them just because they're so well built. And they take an aluminum shell, wrap it with carbon fiber, and then they wrap it with fiberglass and then epoxy the whole thing to protect it. So they're pretty strong.
Okay. The internal inspection, what are you looking for when you do an internal?
We just look down inside of them, make sure, one, there's no moisture, because there shouldn't be as we shoot them off. We're going to look for rust pitting, any kind of debris inside. If they get moisture in them and they set in there for a long time, it'll start rusting the cylinder. We look for just cracks, anything that's out of the ordinary. A good CO2 cylinder, especially the aluminum, when you look down in it, it's like looking in a mirror almost. It's there's good and shiny inside, and you can see any flaws. Okay. And then there's ways to determine per our protocols that we have to follow from DOT and the CGA pamphlets how what an allowable amount of rust or pitting is. But usually it's there's not much inside. But the outside is where you get most of your damage because that's what's in the elements. Mm-hmm. That's what they set on the floor, and then it just gets all the moisture that builds up, and that's where you're going to get most of your rusting and pitting on the outside.
Now, are these, most of these cylinders, are these, because, are they aluminum, steel, what?
Both.
Okay.
The older CO2s are going to be steel. The big 7,500-pound CO2s are almost all going to be steel. Mm-hmm. They're starting to, we're trying to weed out the handheld CO2s that are steel. Just because aluminum's so much lighter, and they're newer.
Does the aluminum still rust? Or
It oxidizes, okay. So rust. It's a different term. It's okay. Still rust, but okay. They call it oxidation. It will oxidize. They've all got a protective coating on them, which is paint, epoxy paint. But it does get chipped off, so then you'll get oxidation in. And it's the same thing. There's allowable amounts that you can clean up. You can clean them up and repaint them. But for the most part, it's we're just going to keep an eye on, make sure that the rust isn't excessive, and make sure. And then if they do, if it's kind of marginal, we can do our checks with our meter, our little meters and our gauges. And then it still has to pass hydro tests because if it takes up too much of the wall thickness and the strength, it's going to fail due to the integrity of the cylinder isn't as good anymore.
Okay. Last question. How do I know when my cylinder needs to be hydro tested? Is it the DOT? Is there a...
In the DOT number, there is a date. Mm-hmm. Some cylinders are non-DOT cylinders on low pressure. All high-pressure cylinders that we test are DOT. They're starting to come out with a UN cylinder, which can be... It follows DOT, TransCanada, everybody, so they can ship them anywhere in the world. Mm-hmm. But everything we do is DOT. You can look at the DOT, and it's going to have the date that it was manufactured. And then it falls into the time frame, either 5, 7, or 12 years. There are some that can go 10. If they do a certain test on the CO2s, they can stamp them for 10 years. We don't do that. We stick with the 5 years. But you can go by the manufacturer's date. And then if it's ever been hydro tested, we stamp a date on there. And then you can look, you go by the newest date. And then whenever the time frame for that cylinder comes up, then you have to have it hydro tested.
Okay. So if I have any type of cylinders, CO2, fire extinguishers, SCBAs, I can just call probably my local Corson branch and they could probably tell me what needs to be done, whether it needs to be hydro tested or what the rules, regulations, code are.
Yeah. Yeah. Just give your local branch a call. They can help you a lot on the phone, or they can have a technician come out and technicians can come out, pick them up and bring them back to the shop. Or you can drop them off at the shop and they can do them. And depending on what's easier for the customers.
All right. Well, I think that about does it. Thanks a lot for joining me, answering these questions on hydro test. If anybody else wants to learn more about hydro testing, cylinders in general, rules, code, regulations, you can call your local branch or visit Corson.com. Thank you.
Thanks.
If you like today's episode, we encourage you to subscribe to the podcast and rate us on iTunes. You can also find our podcast on Spotify, Pocket Cast, Google Podcast, and other popular podcast players. Search for Corson Fire and Security Chat to find it. Thanks once again for listening, and I will see you next week for our next episode of the Corson Fire and Security Chat podcast. Have a great day, everybody. Bye. The information in this podcast is for informational purposes only. It is believed to be reliable, but Corson Fire and Security assumes no responsibility or liability for any errors or omissions in the content of this podcast. It does not constitute professional advice. The listener of this podcast is responsible for verifying the information's accuracy from all available sources, including the product manufacturer. The authority having jurisdiction should be contacted for code interpretations.